I guess the thing that's, like, most confusing to me is, like, where does the sense of pushing really hard come into play? Like, is that tied in with comfort? Or no matter how comfortable you are, do you still have that urge to, like, when you get stuck, to push as hard as you possibly can?
I think it's like, well, we did this analogy with the kids at camp where we had, and this is an old analogy, but we had Chinese finger traps. And when you put your fingers in a Chinese finger trap and you try to pull it out, it's like your instinct is to just try to, like, pull it out because it's kind of scary in a way. It's kind of like panicking, you know. It's like, my fingers are stuck in here and I just want to get them out, you know. But as you know, the harder you pull, you just get more and more stuck. And I think it's a pretty solid analogy. It's just, it's like Roisin was talking, it's like primal. You just, that's just what you feel like you're supposed to do. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stutter Talk. You are listening to the B Team, which consists of myself, Joel Cordy, and Roisin McManus.
Hello.
And Karen Herring.
Hey, guys.
And we are going to talk to you guys today about stuttering, as usual. if you want to contact us and either ask us a question or give us a suggestion for a show, you can write to us at bteam@stuttertalk.com, or if you just have a more general Stutter Talk inquiry, it's stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. And also, another great way to just connect and communicate with the community is to visit the Stutter Talk Facebook page. There's been a lot of thought-provoking posts on there, and with different people from the community weighing in. So that's always an option as well. Today, at least to start things out, we're gonna do a little old school B team coffee shop hangout thing that we sometimes do, because we don't see each other too much, so we like to stay updated on what's going on in each other's lives. And there's always some interesting stuttering related things to talk about. So who wants to go first?
I'll start. Wait, did you say Roisin?
It's unanimous.
I'm good. stuttering wise, right now, I am looking forward to the NSA conference, which is not this coming weekend, but the next. And it's gonna be really fun. So I'm looking forward to that. And this time of year is always like advertising and talking to people about stuttering is always so easy, because like they'll ask me like what my plans are for the summer.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that I'm going down to Florida, and they ask me why, and then I can explain the NSA. And people always like get a kick out of it. There's a conference of people. What? So that's cool. Other than that, I'm looking forward to doing a couple of shows about my career with a stutter series. Oh, I'm not going to call it that. Please don't ever repeat what I just said. career with a stutter. other than that, I'm good. I've been feeling pretty comfortable lately speaking. So,
well, that's excellent.
Thank you.
Joel?
Okay. Karen wants more time to think. It's like we're at a restaurant and we're all ordering.
You have to order.
And Karen's waiting it out.
I don't know what to say.
We've heard this before. Then there'll be like something really interesting that you want to talk about.
I know. Then she'll ask some question and it'll be like an hour of discussion.
I'm doing well. I kind of feel in a little phase where I feel motivated to work on my speech a little bit, or at least try different stuff to try to speak easier. I'm saying that because I just had this experience a few weeks ago where I was I've been helping to run a camp at the University of Minnesota for school age kids who stutter. So that usually consists of a morning group of younger kids and then an afternoon group of older kids. And it's actually the fourth year in a row now that we've done this. And I guess it's interesting because every year, I'm always pretty shocked how therapeutic I found it to be for myself, because you know you kind of have to act a certain way to you know to make sure the kids know that you're not ashamed of your stuttering, and you know you tell them to try different strategies like stuttering on purpose and stuff, and it always just reminds me that that you know there's really some really effective strategies that people who stutter can do to help them be better communicators, and I tend to forget that a lot, especially when speaking is or seems difficult. I had one moment in particular that was pretty interesting where I should preface this by saying that during the week I was doing the camp during the day and then working from about like 5 to like 11:30 at night. So, and I've done that the last few years because I don't have a ton of vacation at work, but I really want to do the camp and my work's flexible. So, but it can be just to be like a really long week. But anyway, I was, I think it was like halfway through the camp and on Wednesday, where I was, my boss had come in and, we were talking about something technical, and this is just, you know, like the last episode we talked about stuttering in different contexts. This is a context where I had a struggle, and I was kind of getting into my routine, and he's pretty patient with me and kind of, you know, trying to explain what was going on, and it just like clicked for me. I'd been like stuttering on purpose all day and stuttering in all these innumerable different ways, easy and hard stuttering, all different kinds of stuttering. And it just kind of clicked. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. I don't have to stutter quite like how I'm stuttering right now. And you know, it's just, and then, you know, it's always kind of hard to like right in the moment change things. But I kind of was able to change it. It probably wasn't noticeable to him, but to me, it felt like I had more say in what was going on as far as, you know, quote unquote, controlling my speech, whatever that means. But
that's really cool, Joel.
Yeah, it was kind of a cool moment where I felt like I was able to make a change.
Wow.
So That was one thing I wanted to share with you guys. And, you know, I always have an amazing time at this camp, and I'm able to make some really awesome connections with the kids. You know, that's always just a really cool thing that I've been able to do for the last 4 years, I guess. And every year it surprises me that how much it just personally affects me in my own stuttering.
You should come back down, stay for a while. We'll walk in the trees and we'll share our lives over bread and wine, the simplest things.
I could think about that for a really long time, Joel. I guess because I'm around, like, stuttering so much with my job that I never really thought about it like that, but I feel like it probably does help me a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I would... I'm sure we probably talked about it before, but it's just impossible when you're telling people productive things and good things about stuttering. It's hard for you not to sit back and reflect and be like, well, am I doing some of these things? Like, am I avoiding it all? You know, am I feeling shame about my stuttering, you know?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, maybe I am a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's do it. Yeah.
I guess I'm going to echo Roisin a little bit. I'm also going to the NSA, and I'm very excited about that. And then I'll be going to the Friends Conference later in the month with Joel, and I'm super excited about that.
It's my first Friends Conference.
I think you're really going to enjoy, especially after hearing how much you enjoyed hanging out with the kids at this camp.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a great, great time.
And then we're going to our time, too.
Which is also going to be great.
I am sad I'm not going to NSA this year. That's a lot of stuff, though, so I just couldn't,
couldn't
swing at all.
Yeah. But so that's kind of what I'm excited about. I've been noticing some things in my own speech that have been kind of confusing to me. I feel like I'm in a place where I'm really comfortable with my speech, and I kind of equate secondary behaviors with struggling and being less comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the past few weeks, I found myself doing some secondary things, and it's kind of freaked me out.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm not exactly sure why I'm doing them. Because I feel pretty confident and comfortable with stuttering, but yet I'm struggling in a way that's, I don't know, sort of like a huge step backwards, I feel.
What are the behaviors?
Doing a lot of things with my mouth. Like I'll move my jaw in a weird way, or I'll like have way too much tension in my lips than I need to have. Right. It's just things that, like, I haven't done in a really, really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like very, very strange because I don't feel the same pressure that I once felt to like get through the stutter as fast as I can. And then I need to push with everything that I have.
Right.
But for some reason I'm still pushing with everything that I have.
Hmm.
Very, very strange. But I don't know. That's sort of what I'm going through my head a lot. Like, why am I doing this and how I can work it out?
Does it feel like almost like an indulgence?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't feel good.
Okay. Because I think sometimes, like, I have this, I don't even know if it's a secondary, but this thing where, like, if I really want to get through a word, and I just sort of like forget to like kind of like step back and let it happen. I'll almost like pass out, or I won't pass out, but I have this like vertigo thing. And I think it's a secondary because I can always choose not to do that. But in a way it feels somewhat good, even though it feels horrible. Like when it's happening, it feels like it's like an indulgence. I was just wondering if that felt the same.
Huh. Even though it doesn't feel good, like because you like quote unquote know that secondaries aren't productive, it still feels kind of like a treat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like very like instinctual and like primal. Like instead of like talking to myself and being like, you don't have to fight through this, you can just like kind of cleanly stutter. It's like escaping that whole process and just like putting my head down and going.
Hmm.
Like in a sense, it feels kind of good because like it's like not inhibiting my self at all. But then it's like really uncomfortable because it's insane to have vertigo in the middle of a conversation.
It's pretty ridiculous and insane that you can like create that sensation for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange. I always have been able to.
Wow.
You know, that's why I love talking to you guys, because like, as the two things you guys just described, like nobody who doesn't stutter would understand that. But I just like, I've experienced what you guys are talking about. I mean, I don't know if like the specific vertical thing, I don't know if that's something that is specifically applicable to me, but the concept you describe where there's like a certain comfort in you know, stuttering in a way that's familiar to you, or going through a similar struggle pattern. I mean, to be honest, I think there's some of that going on when I talk, when that situation I was discussing earlier with my boss. But yeah, I mean, getting back to you, Karen, like what you described is something that is like, I feel like is always happening to me.
That choice?
Well, no, I don't think you can really, it's hard to say, oh, that's a choice, because it doesn't feel like a choice when it's happening. It just feels like I don't know. You know, it's like there's this, I've heard people argue about whether or not secondary behaviors are part of the core stuttering. But it seems like to me, it's like, in my own experience, it can be so hard to separate the two, because it's like, at what point is it quote unquote clean stuttering, or are the secondaries starting to creep in? Because sometimes it just feels like they're all sort of intimately wrapped together, and it's hard to kind of tease them apart.
Yeah. I mean, I know I can stutter without moving my jaw.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm doing that when I'm trying to push really hard.
Yeah. And it's like there does come a point where it's like, okay, I know I don't need to be doing that. I know that that's, it's hard to know exactly when that is, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess the thing that's like most confusing to me is like, where does the sense of pushing really hard come into play? Like, is that tied in with comfort? Or no matter how comfortable you are, do you still have that urge to, like, when you get stuck, to push as hard as you possibly can?
I think it's like, well, we did this analogy with the kids at camp where we had, and this is an old analogy, but we had Chinese finger traps. And when you put your fingers in a Chinese finger trap and you try to pull it out, it's like your instinct is to just try to, like, pull it out because it's kind of scary in a way. It's kind of like panicking, you know. It's like, my fingers are stuck in here and I just want to get them out, you know. But as you know, the harder you pull, you just get more and more stuck. And I think it's a pretty solid analogy. It's just, it's like Roisin was talking, it's like primal. You just, that's just what you feel like you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. So even if you get in the Chinese finger trap and you don't have that panic, is your instinct still to pull?
I don't know. It's weird when you start pulling and you feel the trap tightening around your fingers, even though you know, okay, this is just a Chinese finger trap. To me, it still just kind of feels scary. Like, why is it tightening when I'm trying to get out, you know?
So no matter how comfortable with stuttering you are, that, like, small amount of panic doesn't really go away?
Well, I don't know if I would speak in absolutes, but I mean, maybe, I don't know.
I mean, I would say that even if panic is a strong word, if you're overtly stuttering, that moment where, like, something is grabbing your words, you know, stays.
Mama, give me 20. I say stay out till dawn. When the boyfriend was over and they wanted me gone, I would walk through the woods to the old graveyard and wore my own tops and think too kind of thoughts. Are we high?
Are you having the secondary behaviors in situations where you're feeling more kind of anxious or, like, quote unquote panic, Karen?
No, I mean, that's what's so confusing to me. I don't really have that feeling of panic so much. It's just like I'm stuck and for some reason I'm choosing to push, or maybe I'm not choosing, for some reason I just am. But it's like I feel really fine and I'm not panicking and I'm pretty comfortable, and it's just like I'm pushing really hard.
That's where I think whenever I feel something similar, it just, like, reminds me that, you know, there's, you know, this isn't just psychological baggage. Like, there's something at play where it's, you know, even when you feel completely comfortable in a situation, it you know, you'll get caught by surprise.
Yeah,
you know,
you're very, very right.
Wow. At the coffee house. I really like that description, actually, Joel.
Wow, what do you mean?
Just at the coffee house.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's like, we're just like, it is what it is.
a listener wrote us an email and said that. Like, I really like the B-Team episodes. It's like three friends just getting together at the coffee shop.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I was kind of... I had a cup of coffee.
Sometimes I was going to get one. I didn't quite get around to it this morning. But sometimes I worry that people won't like it because of that. But do you think this is a good time to ask Roisin about something?
Yeah.
Okay. Roisin, I have to tell you that listening to your recent soapbox really affected me. I feel like in my own life, I've had times where I've really have struggled with stuttering, and I think that initially when I got into thinking about doing speech pathology, I think part of it was, you know, I just wanted to figure out ways to help myself, and it seemed like a good option because I knew I didn't like the job I had, and I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And now, since I feel like stuttering has become less and less of a barrier in my life and as a communicator, I still recognize that I can be a really good role model for people who stutter, and also to I do feel like there's a lot of good work I could potentially do as a therapist, but I do recognize that there's a large part of me that maybe got into the field for maybe some reasons that were more of a comfort thing, and I think that I just. I don't know. I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I need to really figure out like how I want to spend the next like 10 years professionally. And just hearing your soapbox just really helped me to think more critically about some of this stuff. And I'm really personally just really looking forward to the next couple few shows that you do, because I think it's something that hasn't been really tackled on the show yet. Like, and I don't know. I just think it's really, really great.
Thank you. Thank you, Joel. And I really, your honesty is refreshing or like inspiring. I don't know. But that was a very honest appraisal. Thank you.
Well, you know that I'm. I think it's always easier to be honest with yourself, as you know, when you look the back. And I do think sometimes I have a tendency. I don't know, to maybe cut myself a little bit short, because I kind of said this, but I do think I have some work to do as a therapist, but I just want to make sure that you know, one way or the other, that stuttering isn't dictating what I truly would like to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, you know, as much as we talk about not letting stuttering affect our lives, it's interesting sometimes, because I think, I know for me, that as you know, it's a strange catch 22. It's like, you know, you're going into speech therapy, but or you know, I'm going into speech therapy, but it's like there's a part of me that's like, well, maybe that decision was a little bit based on stuttering. And then it's like, well, then you are allowing the stuttering to affect your decisions. But I mean, as I'm saying this now, there's like a million things going on in my head, but I do think too that there's, you know, obviously there's no way to completely escape or separate yourself from stuttering, because it's a part of who you are and it's shaped the person that you've become. I just think it's a really important and interesting topic to tackle.
I think there's also a fine line between going into the field because you stutter and you have a passion for this, and going to the field because you stutter because it's safe.
Agreed.
So yeah. I don't know if you really have to tease why you went in the field and stuttering apart. Just, like, I think it's sort of after that. Like, you stutter, so you were drawn to this field, but right. Why were you drawn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, like, the emphasis on not so much examining why you are where you are. I mean, that's obviously important, but not spending so much time on that, and more spending time on, and Jill, you definitely basically said this, but am I heading in a direction that like is dictated by what I want to do?
Yeah.
And that can completely be in the field of stutter. I mean, you can be a speech therapist working in stuttering, still operating out of fear, or you can be a speech therapist working in stuttering who will be like a kick-ass therapist, not operating out of fear.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, it's more about like where you're heading. And I also feel like in terms of not letting stuttering affect where you go, I don't think that's possible in terms of like, being like in your teens or in your early 20s and not considering it. I think that like why I brought that up in terms of speech therapy and people who stutter going into speech was that like it would just make me really, really sad if kids thought that like that's the only way that they could be a successful professional.
Yeah.
Because they saw all these successful professionals and most of them are working in speech. For me was like the most important thing that like is not acceptable.
Yeah.
Thank you for, neatly articulating exactly what my point was in a small amount of time, because that was like, yeah, that was exactly what I was thinking, but I was trying to figure out a way to say it without, you know, without, because yeah, because obviously the last thing I believe is that people who stutter shouldn't become speech language pathologists, you know, because mm-hmm. obviously we've all gotten a chance to meet amazing therapists who stutter, and it's obvious that that is exactly what they should be doing, and they want to do that, and it's not that they're hiding. And I think obviously we can include Karen in that category.
Thanks, Joel.
They're even among us.
But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the shows.
Have you guys ever been like accused? I guess accused isn't the right word, but by like your families or like by people that don't really know you very well, or even if they do know you very well, but like that they question your career choice.
Go ahead, Karen.
I don't think I've ever had anyone question it because they think it's safe. I think some people question it in the sense like, how can you help people who stutter if you're still stuttering? Mm-hmm. But I think more often than not, from people I don't know or don't know the field all that well, it's more like they find it inspiring that I'd want to help people that have that struggle with the same thing.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I think for me, when people ask me what I to do, I usually frame it as like, I'm an electrical engineer. I, you know, design guitar effects pedals. And then if the conversation gets more in depth, or if I want to advertise, it's like my little trick. No, then I say, and I also, you know, I go to grad school part time to be for speech language pathology, and it's always like I always like have to preface it with like, yeah, my professional life is kind of convoluted, you know, I'm still not exactly sure how it's all going to work out, but then you know, it's not quite the same because I do this other thing full time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess, dang, I know I'm going to be seeing Karen in a few weeks, but I don't know when I'm going to see you next, Roisin.
I'm so cool. When are we going to see each other?
It makes me sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to see a lot of you, Joel.
Yeah, you're going to be like with Joel the whole
man, weeks.
And you already get to see a lot of Roisin.
I know. I am so lucky.
Well, it'll happen.
Yeah, and it's like by osmosis almost, because like I'll hear about you at friends, and they'll hear about me at NSA.
Yeah. And then we'll get to listen to your wonderful episodes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for the B team today. And if you're listening to this and you're not going to the NSA conference and you live in Florida, you should go, because I think this episode's getting published on July 1st. So yeah, you still cool. have time. Check it out.
Yeah, please do.
All right. Well, I will talk to you guys soon, and have a great week.
Sounds good. Bye, Joel. Bye, Roisin.
See you guys.